Well, a second good morning to everyone. A good morning to everyone that is here in the hall, that is outside the church building. And also welcome to all those that are listening online. Our first live stream, audio live stream. Welcome to the audio live stream. And could we just ask you to do something if you're listening live streaming? Could you click the like button so we can know you're out there and listening to us? It'd be interesting for us to know how many people. Okay, so we know that at least there's 10 people out there, I'm told, from the back this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, and have your Bible open there. However, because this was a Friendship Sunday, I have all the verses printed on your bulletin. Some of you at home may have found the bulletins in a PDF format so that you can follow along too. So all the verses will be on the sheet today. If you don't have a PDF or you don't have a sheet, please just listen. We'll be reading all the verses as we move through. So this morning, we have the title of the message as God's Plan for Your Life. Let's ask God's help as we start. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would reveal something of your plans to us today. We want to know you and we want to draw close. So help us to know your plan for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Rick had attended church as a child, and yet he hadn't been to church for many years, perhaps even decades. Now, Rick was a talented graphic artist. He had 10 years of experience working in a successful advertising agency, but he actually hated the workplace environment. He hated the push and the competition between the different graphic artists that were there. He recoiled at the low moral tone and the heavy pressure to produce. He naturally wondered if he could do just as well in having his own business, but he kind of wondered if he could really compete with the firm that he was working for now. He dreamed that if he could begin his own business, he would finally have control over his life. He could set his own hours, and he could have more time for family. Yet he also had to provide for that wife and three children, and if he went out on his own and everything failed, he might even lose his home and his savings. Rick prayed that he might be shown the plan of God for his life. He asked if it would be better for him to start his own business or to stay put. But he knew that he had ignored God a lot of his life. Perhaps he was so far from God's will that it was useless to try and find God's will for his life. Dear friends, we need to understand, first of all, that God's plans for our lives go far deeper than whether to start our own business or not. God's plans for us, dear friends, go from eternity right through to eternity. He has grand plans for you and me, and we need to search that out a little bit today. Let's start with this. God has made this world and everything in it. He has made you and me, and therefore he has a right to tell us how to run our lives. But so often, like Rick, we want to run our own lives. We want to go our own way, and so we can tend to ignore God. When we are between a rock and a hard place like Rick was, we might start to wonder if God has something better for us. God has made this world and everything in it, including you and me, so it's no surprise that the God of the universe has made a way to communicate to his creatures, to us. And this is the way, I'm holding up my Bible here, this is the way that God has intended to communicate to us through his word. He chose to write his word through men who knew him well, through the prophets in the Old Testament, through the apostles in the New Testament, a total of about 40 different men over 2,000 years. And they wrote the very words of God in 66 different books that have been gathered together today in what we call the Bible. God has chosen to communicate to us through his book, the Bible. He has revealed his plan for you and me in these scriptures. And we don't have to guess. We don't even have to ask. We merely need to respond to what he's shown us. So as we think about God's plan for our lives, I want to help you get started and then to go on living in God's plan for us. So these are not my ideas. I'm simply bringing to you what God has said in the scriptures. But what I will give you is some tags, some catchphrases to help you remember what God has said. Feel welcome to fill in the blanks on your sheet if you have that with you today. So first, let's get started. Here are some basic concepts that relates to God's plan for our lives. Number one, God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you. You see, he made you. King David realized that God made him when he wrote Psalm 139 and verse 14. He said in that psalm, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. If you've ever made anything of any value, you'll know that it is special to you. And so since God made you and me, it's no surprise if you hear that God loves you. You are special to him. John, sometimes called the prophet of love, was the one who often wrote most about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. He said to us in 1 John 4 and verse 10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Often in our lives, we have simply forgotten that God is there. But the truth is, from this scripture, is that he has set his love on each one of his creatures. Like a young man pursuing the girl of his dreams, the Lord in love is pursuing each person. He wants you to be his. Therefore, he has drawn you here today, or he has drawn you to listen online today through one means or another. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 talks about that when it says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And you've been drawn to listen today. So, dear friend, you are special to God. He loves you and he wants a relationship with you. It seems like Rick, our graphic artist friend, was treating God like some kind of genie in the sky. He was not seeking a relationship with God. He just wanted help when he needed it. But it doesn't work like that. The God who made us has a right to tell us how it works. And God has told us, first, it's relationship. God wants a relationship with you. Number two, but there are problems in having a relationship with God. There are problems in having a relationship with God. We just can't treat God as an old mate because we have offended him. And you might say, in what way have we offended him? Well, dear friend, God has asked one thing of us, that we return the love that he has set on us, that we return that love to him. Listen, Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, Jesus is speaking and he says, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So God wants us to return his love for us. He wants us to return that love to him. And we have offended God by going our own way and not loving him in the way that he has asked. We could explain it to Rick. Rick, just imagine if you and your wife were dating. She ignored you in company. She didn't bother to read your texts. She didn't answer the phone when you called. And she didn't speak well of you to others. Wouldn't you have concluded, Rick, that she didn't love you? But what happened in your relationship? Wasn't it like this? She was proud to introduce you to her friends. She eagerly read your texts. She certainly answered the phone when you called, and she called you heaps. And of course, she spoke well of you to others. You knew that she loved you. Can't you see, Rick, then you haven't returned your love for God? Can't you see why he's offended? You'd be offended if you were treated that way. In fact, Rick, you have ignored his texts. You have gone your own way and only thought about him when you needed something. You see, dear friend, to fail to love God is sin. To fail to love God is to fail to do what he has asked of us. to fail to love God is actually to rebel against him. Isaiah explained the problem well. He said in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And Romans continues, "As it is written, there is none righteous." No, not one. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not one." So the relationship between us and God must be repaired. But how? Number one, God wants a relationship with you. Number two, there are problems in having a relationship with God. Number three, God has done much to remove the problems in the relationship. The problem is that we've offended the king. Not merely a peer or even a superior, but the one to whom all kings answer, the King of Kings. If you break a traffic law, you expect a fine. If you commit a crime, you expect to go to jail. If you commit a serious crime until just recently, then it was the death penalty. Our lack of love for God and others is serious. To lie is serious. To look with lust is serious. To hate in our hearts is serious. To blaspheme the name of God is serious. If the truth were known, the list of my sins would fill a telephone book, and so would yours. We are in deep trouble regarding our relationship with God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." For the wages of sin is death. Yes, the death penalty is only justice after all. Our God is just, and justice must be brought. He will require it of me. But he has done something to remove this problem in the relationship. You see, he loved you enough to seek a good relationship with you, to repair the damage, to seek reconciliation in the relationship. And we read in John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We deserve to perish, but God has done something to reconcile the relationship. We read in 1 John 4 and verse 9, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Let me read that again. "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." What does it mean that Jesus was the propitiation for our sins? Well, he loved us and sent his Son to satisfy the anger of God against sin. Sin hurts others, and God is rightly angry against sin. He loved us and sent his Son to satisfy his justice. If we would only believe, God can accept Jesus' death in our stead and therefore count us as if we've never sinned. So let's, number four, put that in bold and in italics. Number one, God wants a relationship with you. Number two, but there is a problem in having a relationship with God. Number three, God has done much to remove the problems in the relationship. Number four, however, we need to do our part. We need to do our part in removing the problems too. What is our part in removing the problems in the relationship? If we will only believe in Christ, as I've just said, God can accept Jesus' death in our stead and therefore count it as if we've never sinned. And if you are seen to have never sinned, then the relationship between you and God has been reconciled. There's been a forgiveness of sin, and now we're able to come into God's presence. The faith that is required is saving faith. It is repentant faith. A faith that puts its trust in Christ's work on the cross. A faith that turns from sin and turns to God. Repentance is a turning from sin to God. And in regard to repentance, Acts 3 and verse 19 says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." We can have our sins blotted out as we repent and as we trust Christ's death in our place. Luke 15 says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." On faith, Romans 10 and verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is to be in him. And repentance and faith go together. Those who truly repent trust Christ's death in their place to save them from their sins. Those who trust Christ do not want to go back to their old ways. And so we read in John 3 and verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Dave Brennan writes, "Every night Howard and Mel frequented the pubs, hoping to drown away their sorrows from another day. Finally, the pain of a wasted life was too much, and Mel hopped on a train for the Big Smoke, where he hoped to end it all. But as he walked barefoot through the city, he was stopped from a worker by a worker from a rescue mission. Mel went inside, heard the gospel, and was wonderfully saved by the Lord. Much later, as Mel had grown in Christ, he went back to his hometown to start a mission of his own. His old mate Howard heard that he was back in town, that he was now sober and saved. But instead of trusting Christ, Howard just laughed at old Mel. The message of the cross was just stupidity to him. Finally, the drinking took its toll on Howard, and he passed away. More than 100 years later, Mel Trotter Mission still welcomes people who need a place to stay and who need a saviour. And 100 years later, our family, says Dave Brennan, our family is still saddened by Howard's demise. Howard was my wife's grandfather. Like Mel and Howard, you and I stand at a crossroads. What do you choose? In verse 36 it says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So, if we're thinking about Rick and wanting to see Rick trust Christ, maybe he has gone through these steps and maybe he has trusted Christ. So, number five, we would say to someone who has trusted the Lord as their Saviour, God will help us in maintaining a good relationship with him. God will help us in maintaining a good relationship with him. God helps the new Christian through his Spirit, his Word, and his church. The Spirit is a gift of God that is given when a person turns to Christ. We read about that in the very first Christian sermon, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When a person truly trusts Christ, there's a transaction takes place. The Holy Spirit comes in. He is a gift from God. The Spirit who comes in gives us new desires. He gives us a desire to be like Christ. He gives us a desire to fellowship with God's people. And so we're here today, or we're listening in on the live stream. He empowers for service to Christ. He gives victory. He is the one who gives victory over sin. The new believer loving Christ finds that he or she has brothers and sisters in Christ, a new family, the family of God, to whom they belong, and they have a new heart for worship. So the Scripture works exactly in tandem with the Holy Spirit, liberating, comforting, guiding, healing, and empowering. And so does the local church. So Peter adds in Acts 2 and verse 42, just a couple of verses later, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." The equivalent today is Bible doctrine. "They continued steadfastly in Bible doctrine and fellowship." And that's why we're here today, together as a body in Christ, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. It is a myth that a Christian can live the Christian life without a church family. That's a myth. It's also a myth that a person can grow in the Christian life without the Word of God. Both the church and the Word and the Holy Spirit, all three are needed. The plan that God intends for Rick's life is for him to have this relationship with God. If Rick came to see that he had been living for himself and not for the Lord Jesus, we would want Rick to trust Christ as his Savior from sin. That's God's plan for Rick's life. Now that Rick has trusted Christ, he has the Spirit, he has the Word of God, and he has brothers and sisters in Christ to help him with his decisions. Rick's prayer will no longer be, "Help me to decide what's best for me." Rick's prayer will become, "Show me, Lord, what you want me to do. I want your will and I want your way in my life, Lord." It's God's plan that Rick be saved, then stay close, stay in the Word, stay in prayer, and be seeking God's will and way. That, in part, is God's plan for Rick's life. So we've made a start finding God's plan for our lives. Now let's go on. The filling of the Spirit and the whole of the Bible will help us to go on to find God's plan. And I would just like to isolate three aspects of that plan for you from the Scriptures. Number one, it is God's plan for our lives that He shape us. It's God's plan for our lives that He shape us. Rick would now expect that God will begin to shape his life. Now, Rick's work environment is a worldly workday environment. Rick is pressured by a number of things. He's pressured by the success syndrome and he's pressured by the poor morals. Now, Romans 12 and verse 2 speaks into that work situation. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So that could be paraphrased as, don't let the world shape you, but let the Word shape you. Let me read verse 2 again. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape you, but be transformed, be changed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. And that renewing of your mind occurs as we read the Word of God. The Word of God renews our mind to what is the truth. And the Word of God is revealed and it is emphasized by the Spirit of God. It is God's plan to shape us. It is God's plan to shape us. It's contrary to God's plan that the world shape us. God's plan is also set out by Romans 8 and verse 29. It says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." I said at the very first, God's plan for his people stretches from eternity to eternity. God knew us before we existed. God knew us before he even made the world. Not only before I was born, but he knew me way back there in eternity before the first atom started to spin. He foreknew us. Ephesians 1 and verse 4 explains of Christians, "Just as he chose us in him," that's in Christ, "before the foundation of the world." So the Father not only knew us before the world was formed, he chose us before the world was formed. And the Father had a plan for us in eternity. That plan has always been that we become like his Son. Verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." I said at first, God's plan is from eternity to eternity, and we can begin to see that today. God's plan for our lives is to shape us to be like his Son. He uses his Word for that. He uses the Spirit for that. He uses brothers and sisters for that. And he also uses circumstances in our lives to shape us as well. So God chips away at our lives like a sculptor chipping away at a piece of marble. As the sculptor knows what he wants the finished product to look like, the Father knows what he wants us to look like in the end also. The chisel blows may hurt, but with each chisel blow, each trial that comes into our lives, the Son, the image of the Son, starts to appear in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 says, "But we all are being transformed from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." There is a transformation happening to make us like his Son. Now, secondly, it's God's plan, and you'll have to cross out some words on your sheets here. It's God's plan to use us. Cross out the words "make us" and put it, "it is God's plan to use us." Each changed Christian now becomes a channel for the love of God and God's word. Having received God's love in our lives, out of our belly are to flow rivers of love toward others. John 15 and verse 12. Says these words, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So Christians are to love each other, but also Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." So not only are we to love each other, we're also to love those that hate us and despitefully use us, and we're to set our love on those people also. So we're to be a channel for the love of God. Having received God's truth, we are now with grace to be channel of the word of God to others. 2 Corinthians 5:20 explains, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And ambassadors do their work by talking. We are to tell others. We are to bring the truth to them. We're an ambassador for the King. And Acts 1:8 also says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The channel concept comes from John 7 and verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So we want these rivers of living water, of love and of truth, to be flowing from us as we seek to love around those around us and be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. Number three, it is God's plan to give us a glorious future. A glorious future. No matter what we see happening in the world, no matter what trials we are going through, no matter what trials we go through in our community, God has a glorious plan for his future. Glorious plan for our lives, for our future. Israel was going through a very dark phase of their lives when God wrote to them in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 saying, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He speaks that into our situation right now. Whatever your situation is, no matter what sickness you're bearing, no matter what fears you have in regard to the future, God speaks into that and he says, "I want to give you a future and I want to give you a hope." This hope that we have is a living hope, as explained by Peter. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again." We've been born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, this is talking about heaven, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. God has grand plans for our future. Nevertheless, we do go through trials, and just a couple of verses after the ones I've just read, Peter says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Christ." So, hard trials may be, but God has great plans for our lives. He has a great future for you. What is God's plan for your life? Number one, he wants a relationship with you. He's done much to solve the problems in the relationship, but we need to respond to in repentance and faith. And when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, God will count it as if we've never sinned. Number two, he wants to make you like his Son. Now that you're saved, he's going to shape you to be like his Son He wants to use you as a channel for his love and truth, and he has a glorious future for his people. So how does all this help Rick wondering whether he should start his own business? Well, Rick has trusted Christ as his saviour, and so now he's going to be asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then he has the resources of the Bible, he has the resources of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, has the resources of God's people to help him to know God's will for his life. As one of God's people seeking to help him, I might ask, Rick, how's it going at work? Are you being a witness for the Lord there at work, or is your Christian life going backward? You see, if Rick has the maturity to stand, now he has a new purpose in that workplace. He has the purpose of being a channel for the love of God and the purpose of being a channel for the word of God to his workmates. The difficult work environment is only going to throw him back in dependence on his Lord, and that's going to be a great thing to help Rick to grow in Christ. However, if Rick's life is going backwards, he may need to get out of that workplace until he has grown some in Christ, until he has more of the Spirit and more of the Word. He may need to be nurtured in a less threatening environment for a time. You don't want to see Rick's life go backwards. If he has to get out, now he has the Lord to be able to trust in regard to his finances. So what I'm saying today is, anyone who is saved and walking with the Lord can know God's plan for their lives. But where are you at the crossroads? He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written to you that you may know that you have eternal life, John says in the book of 1 John. So what are you going to do today? Will you trust Christ as your Saviour? That's the beginning of the plan. He wants to have a relationship with you. Let's pray. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your help, even with difficulty in preaching today. We do thank you that your word is true and that it goes out. It's going out now in this room and it's going out to places we are not even aware of today. We pray, Lord, that as your word goes out, as your truth goes out, you would use it in people's lives. We pray that anyone standing at the crossroad, any child, any teen, any adult, Lord, who needs to turn to the Lord Jesus, would turn to him. For he has good plans. He has a great future for all those who come to him. Oh, I pray, Lord, that you would work and that people would come to you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.